This episode of Creative Pursuit is sponsored by Melanifits. Melanifits provides work for benefits. As a team member, you can receive healthcare, retirement, or even student loan benefits by helping a local business for just a few hours each week. And so the rest of the week, you can spend doing what you love. Or if you're a business owner and need some extra hands, Melanifits can help you tackle your to-do list with one of their team members. Find out more at melanifits.com. That's MILLENEFITS.com. Melanifits, benefits for the way we work in the new millennium.
Welcome to the Creative Pursuit Podcast. In each episode, we chat with entrepreneurs and freelancers in the creative field. We dive into how they got started and how they grew their business to provide you with insights and motivation so that you too can pursue your creative passion. We believe you should enjoy the work you do, and that the biggest challenge is to just get started. Check out our website, creativepursuit.co, for show notes and more info about the creatives featured in each episode. Now, here's your host, Darren Young.
Thank you for joining me today. This is the Creative Pursuit Podcast. I'm Darren Young, and I'm the owner of Mixed Media, which does web design, videography, and marketing technology. On this episode, I have the pleasure of chatting with Charles Hairston of Nuge Media. Charles and I were both volunteers at Making Midwest and were filming all of the talks. Charles has also made the short films for the Maker series, which features some of the speakers at Making Midwest. I really like his style, and we'll include a link to the videos in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. One thing about Charles is that he does have a full-time job, and Nuge Media is a side hustle. He does intend to make the jump to Nuge Media being his full-time gig in the near future, and I'm glad he took the time to share his story, because I think a lot of people don't consider that as an option. I know I didn't. I always thought I needed a well-thought-out and bulletproof business plan before making a jump. But no, you can work on it on the side, build it up, and then make the jump. So I hope Charles' story will inspire you to do the same, because the main thing is to just start. All right, let's get to it. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the Creative Pursuit Podcast. Today I'm here with Charles Hairston of Nuge Media. Hey Charles, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, let's tell us about what you do and what is Nuge Media.
So Nuge Media is a videography company that I started a while back. It actually went by the name Catalyst Media for a long time. And then I got rid of that name and changed it to Nuge, which is actually a reference to my mother who passed away when I was young.
Okay.
So her name was Nuwana, which is a Native American name, and they called her Nuji, which is spelled just like Nuji, but I didn't want it to say Nuji, I wanted to say Nuge. But yeah, so it's a videography company. We cover events, weddings, we do story-based video, as well as a little bit of illustration and motion graphics.
Okay. How long ago did you change your name from Catalyst to Nuge?
I would say about 5 years ago. 5 years ago, we changed the name of from Catalyst. So my nickname as a child was Catman.
Okay.
So it was like Catalyst. I was like, oh, this is perfect. I can name the business that way. And then Catalyst is like, you know, the controlling factor of everything.
Yeah.
But that kind of grew out of that phase. And I was like, yeah, Nuge, it hints to my mother, and it's a very important term to
me. Okay. So you just wanted to do like a rebranding?
Yeah,
at the
rebranding
time.
Okay. Totally.
Okay, yeah, that's totally cool. What kinds of work or what kinds of projects have you worked on so far?
Right now, I do a decent amount of event coverage, Making Midwest. For the majority of the previous events, I was the main camera person covering their events. I've done also podcasts, which is funny enough. I've done video for podcasts.
Okay.
where like in those hip hop circles, they have the video of people talking.
Okay.
Because they're very animated and they're very...
Yeah,
like,
that's definitely probably a more interesting type of podcast video you would want to see compared to like something like this.
Yeah, exactly. And I've done a lot of graphics for the Ohio channel as well, motion graphics. That's kind of my wheelhouse talent-wise. Video is my passion and I am developing that skill every day. I already know how to do motion graphics pretty well.
Okay, yeah, using something like, what, After Effects?
After Effects, Premiere, I kind of hate the new Essential Panel when Premiere, Graphic Essential Panel.
Oh, I haven't looked at that yet.
Yeah, don't look at it.
Okay.
But the After Effects, Photoshop, and Illustrator.
Okay, yep. Yeah, that's everything you need for video, and yeah. So what is your background? What is your experience? How did you get into video?
So funny enough, at the beginning of this, I started out wanting to make video games, just like every nerd. I wanted to make as many video games as possible. I wanted to tell stories. One of my favorite games is Shadow of the Colossus. If you ever get a chance to play it, play it.
Okay.
But I started out at OSU going for video game development. It was my passion. But I actually, after like 3 semesters of coding, I realized I hate coding. Like I can't do coding. I'm a very visual thinker, and coding is not that whatsoever. So about partially way through my college career, I started focusing on photography and video and motion graphics. I met the guy who's in charge of the Ohio Channel. He offered me a job, and I was like, okay, I'll do that. And I became a producer there. I still moonlight there as well as my personal business, and that's where I am now.
So getting back to the like video games, I'm not too familiar with, I just have an idea what's involved to make an actual like, you know, big video game. But I know, of course, there's a lot of coding, but aren't there a group of people that just do the visual aspect of it and you can incorporate into the programming somehow?
So there is. And what was funny is that they did not teach you that at the time. And I did not know that was a thing. So I was like, I completely just removed myself. So I still draw to this day. Like that was the reason I love drawing. So I still draw to this day, but now I can see it more realized in the animations and the videos I make, because it's more immediate than like a group of 120 people making a video game.
Yeah, and a video game, I mean, it takes, what, at least 2 years?
Exactly.
At least, right?
Yeah. You can make a 5-minute, 30-minute, 30-second to 5-minute animation in a month.
Yeah. So yeah, let's talk about those videos that you did for Making Midwest, which is how we met. We were both helping out with the event, and we both know Matt Fojak again, who was on a guest on my show previously. So those videos that you shot, they were probably, 4 or 5 minutes long, but I really like them. They're like a good kind of feature on a local creative, what they do. I really liked how you incorporated your handwritten writing into the videos, but let's talk about one of those videos. Like, how long did those take you to do, and what was the idea behind it? Or did Matt give you an idea, or did you just kind of like had your own idea for it?
So this weird thing that I've started doing, which is interviewing artists just for the simple fact of a personal reason, is like I want to, it sounds funny, like steal their life force in a way. I just want to sit down, and by sitting with them, I get to learn things. Uh-huh. So it kind of lined up with what Matt is doing right now, which is the Maker Series. In the Maker Series, you interview artists, and it's solely you. You get all the freedom to interview this artist and how you want to adapt the visuals. So when it pertained to Dylan, which was the first, Dylan Mingus, which was the first person that I interviewed, I just wanted to hang out with him. He was just a cool guy. He's so insightful, so funny, and just like, I guess like a spirit animal. Like I want to learn what he's learned. So it was just the opportunity to sit with him, talk to him, and then it just happened to be a camera there. And then with that, he said some thought-provoking things that allowed me to adapt visuals to that. When it pertains to Mark Lomax, which is the second video, he's a friend that I've been working with through the Ohio Channel as well as through like other venues. And he was just an amazing guy. And his more like rah-rah spirit kind of came out. So it just gave me an idea of more Spike Lee. Like it was just more Spike Lee visuals, a lot of in your face cuts, hard cuts and stuff like that. So that's kind of where it stems from.
And so for those videos, were those all like, were you a one-man show? You're doing everything for those videos, shooting?
I did have help. One of my peers, Jason, which is like somebody I look up to, he did help me out on shooting.
Okay.
Both. Mm-hmm. He was the second camera, but he was also, if I ever got stuck, you should all have a peer group. if I ever got stuck, I'd be like, does this suck? And he'd be like, yes, it sucks. Do better.
Type yeah. Thing. I mean, it's good. Always good to have feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so I mean, I'll be sure to put a link to those videos in the show notes so people can take a look. But how long was the process of, how long was this, did the shooting take and then the editing for that?
Yeah, I totally like glanced over that question that you asked.
No worries,
so it took, honestly, it took about, for the Mingus, the Dylan one, it took about a month. Like after interviewing him and then going back and shooting other things, cause we had to shoot the B-roll. Uh-huh. With the graphics on the end of that, like adding the graphics and actually refining them and making them look good, it took about a week and a half, mm-hmm. Working on it straight through,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
And then with the Lomax one, it didn't take nearly as long. It was more of just like a stream of consciousness, like just laying things out. And those things that I laid out kind of just stuck.
And so are there other ones that you're working on or will be working on for the series?
There's a plan to work on some more. I do have a couple people in mind. Actually, Matt, I do want to interview Matt, and I want to do one of him for that project. And anybody else, honestly, if they have an interesting story, it's kind of like this. I just want to catch them all in a Pokemon sense. Like,
okay, cool. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, by that, do you, is it more just a passion project or would you like to then kind of like spin it off into maybe doing a feature documentary for like a bigger company eventually?
It's a passion project. I have not made money for it. And I don't think I really want to, because I want it to be this thing that's mm-hmm. completely organic. I do think that people will pay me for me giving them the video, but it still will be like my baby, like my ideas, my view mm-hmm. sitting there. The Maker series is Matt's thing, but the videos that I've made are standalone things that I wanted to make originally. So mm-hmm. I don't think that I want to change it into something bigger. I want that to stay just like
yeah,
a diary.
Yeah.
I don't
okay.
want it to
yeah.
go
yeah,
up.
That's totally fine. So let's get back to your, so when you were in college, so did you graduate with like a video production major?
Art and technology. It was a bachelor's of fine arts in art and technology. It was this like hodgepodge of mixed, if you've ever went to OSU, it's just a mixed bag of whatever you can get your hands on: screen printing, photography, video, coding, website development, glass blowing. Like it was literally everything. Like we're pretty close to campus right now, and it was we used to go out to West Campus where the parking lot is, uh-huh. and there's like a glass blowing studio and a sculpture studio, and we had those classes as well as like digital, like completely digital art.
Oh, that's interesting. And were those like, was something like glass blowing, was that a required class or was that just elective?
Oh, okay. So it was elective of some. So you had to do a sculpture or glass blowing or something along those lines.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, I mean, my major was communications, which is a pretty general degree. But so I touched upon video production, web design, and all these things. So I took all these classes, but I can't say I graduated a video production degree, but it was kind of incorporated with that. So
you kind of made your own. Yeah,
sounds fit. Yeah, sounds familiar. And then, so after you graduated, did you just immediately go into doing videos on your own, or did you kind of go into some other things first?
So during OSU, like my last couple of years, I actually did two documentaries for kind of pseudo for OSU about the gentrification of Wildland Park, and another documentary that I can't remember because it never came out. But then after that, I was already making videos and just playing around. After that, soon after I got hired for the Ohio Channel, it wasn't much longer after, it was probably maybe 6 months, 7 months. So then I worked for them, worked my way up to the producer position. And that's kind of where I'm at now with that space, and developing my own company has always, actually my company existed before I went to college. So
oh, okay.
Catalyst uh-huh. Media existed when I graduated high school.
What were you doing? What was your company and you doing for your company at that time? Like,
So I actually got like a LLC and everything. Uh-huh. Like I went through the proper channels because I thought I was like going to just blow up instantly. And, you know, that doesn't never, it never really happens like that. But so initially it was just me drawing stuff. I was just drawing stories and I wanted to make animations that lived online. I made a thing about the relationship I was in called Relationships. And it was just an animation, this guy with goofy hair and a T-shirt. And then after that, I started like doing logos and I did like one website. And this is before I realized I hate coding. and then after that, it kind of like, it didn't die off. It always was a thing. I always had my business cards and stuff ready, but it wasn't what I wanted to do at that time. So I had to make sure when my mom passed away, I went to OSU and that was my focus to not settle because I was settling. I felt like I was settling at that point and I decided to make a focus and drive towards my future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So okay. And so when you were starting out and doing all of that, what were some of the hurdles or struggles you faced as you were just trying to get work or people to pay you to do work?
I think the biggest struggle when you want somebody to pay you to do something is confidence in yourself. I don't know if I'm completely confident now, but I know that I am worth something and I'm providing a value to the people that I work for. The biggest hurdle for me, I would say, is that confidence thing, because it's like, this is something I just love doing. This is something that I do for nothing, like without being paid. And at some point, somebody handed me money for it. And uh-huh. I was like, okay, well, maybe I can make money off of this. Let me keep moving forward with that. And then it was like, well, I'm still not making enough to support myself. And I was like, okay, well, now I need to ask for more. And that was the biggest mm-hmm. hurdle, because you're like, I can't ask them for $1,000 to do this thing. And yeah. It's like, but I mean, you're working and you have things you need to take care of. You have a family. You have those things along. So you need to ask for what you're worth. I mean, if you're providing good work, you should be paid for it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I've had the other guests on the show say the same thing. I think your prices and how much you feel you deserve, it's always a hurdle, or yeah, something like you said, confidence. It's like you always have to, am I really worth that much when you first ask someone? But I think as it goes on, the more work you have, the more times you meet with potential clients, I think over time you just get more and more confidence as you go, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's about the repetition. Just keep doing it over and over again, and then you'll get comfortable, or you'll at least run into those projects that you don't want to really yeah. do, and then you'll ask for a lot of money, and then they'll say yes, and then you're like, oh yeah, okay. I'll do it. Exactly.
Uh-huh. So. Yeah. So when you were, for the work you're doing now, is there a specific type of work you said? You said you do events, but is there like a certain type of projects you like to work on that you do want to find customers for?
Really? I mean, I've done a couple music videos. I mean, that's cool. That's hip. But the story-based, I just want to tell stories. I mean, this business itself is like a thinly veiled attempt at being a professional artist. I mean, the goal is to just make. Like, yeah. I just want to make this. I just want to create and put things in the world that don't exist. So anything that has a story or anything that allows me to bump heads with somebody who's also creative and build from there. I think that these are all the things that I create are footnotes or chapters in a diary, and I want to be able to look back at them. So I'm just trying to document everything that I've done and be able to look back at it and be like, oh, that's where I was in life type space.
Is there something that you haven't done yet but you would like to do in the future? Like any type of
I've
work?
Never did a actual like film.
Like
I've done a documentary. Like I've done like long form, like a long documentary.
Like a big type of yeah. Hollywood type of film,
yeah,
or
like
not that
acting.
Big, but something like a full-fledged movie type of film.
Yeah, me and a couple friends are supposed to be working on like a thing where I'll be acting, and I'm not an actor, but I will be acting as the protagonist, and oh. I'm like defeated with doubt, and I'm walking through this space, and then these animations come, and they bring it to life, and it's like all at night, and but I want to do more stuff like that. I want to do more stuff in that space because being creative is the only thing I know.
What is something you wish you had known when you're starting out and going through those confidence things about pricing? But is there something you wish you had known back then that would have helped you get your business going a lot quicker?
Things that I wish I would have known, or one of the biggest things I wish I would have known, was that 9 times out of 10, you're right the first time you think about it. So when it pertains to the business, it's your business. So whatever decision you make, that is the decision. I do wish that financially, I wish that there was more information out there that was given to like the LLCs and getting all these things taken care of, as well as accounting and stuff like that. But if I thought back to it, I would just want to be more direct with the decisions I made for my business early on.
Well, like you said, you started in high school. How did you figure out even how to make a business in the first place? How did you learn that?
Television.
Really?
Watching TV. It was like internet and television. I mean, that's totally it. I mean, I used to, this sounds bad, but I used to skip school and I would just watch TV, play video games, watch TV, and surf the internet. And with that, it was like, I felt like I was always not quite the same as the other students. So it was always just a focus to be like doing things. I was always drawing. I was always doing this thing. Funny enough, I was actually born with a learning disability. So when it pertains to that, I'm super visual. Like, I'm super visual in the way that I think. And along those lines, like, words are not the way I think. The visuals are the way I think. So when it pertains to that, it was just always that. It was always like, well, I'm not going to be able to have a job, which is funny enough, I have a job. But it's, I'm not going to be able to have a job and hold it if I don't create my own space. So that was why I started creating my own space.
Okay. So what is a typical week like for you? I know when we last met, you were doing some weddings, and I know it seemed like you're just constantly having something to do. So what is a typical week like for you?
I got 1 foot in, 1 foot out right now. So the thing is that I want all myself in my personal business, Nuge. Right now I still have a foot in the TV space. And so a week for me is like in the morning, I'm doing like production stuff for the station. And then in the evenings, I'm just working on my projects. I actually did photo for a wedding last weekend and I'm editing the photos. One day, the next day I'm doing a promo for somebody. The next night I'm doing those photos to like clean up those photos because I got information back. Then by that weekend, the mornings I'm editing videos to get them done to my clients. That's what my week looks like.
Okay. Yeah, so most of the guests I've talked with have already, I guess, made the transition into being a business owner full-time. But I also like talking with people like yourself that are kind of going through that
transition.
Right in that transition period. So what would be for you, what would be the point where you're finally going to make that decision to go at it full-time?
It seems petty or simple, but I would say money. The money is the controlling factor. I have a daughter. So, like, it's easy for me in my mind. It's easy for early 20 something to make that decision, like being super young and not having those responsibilities. But one of my main responsibilities is to take care of my child. Mm-hmm. So in doing so, I have to make sure that's set up. And I'm putting away a year's worth or 6 months worth of money would be that catalyst, as well as success outside of myself. So if this thing is generating based off of people, word of mouth and stuff like that, that is my goal to see that creation come towards me.
Yeah, I totally understand that, you know, family thing. And because you're a father, I mean, yeah, that's definitely important. So if you say you finally got to the point where you have a year of expenses saved up, would that be the point you make the move? Or would it also have to be you're getting a steady influx of leads or...
Well, I think that the money will breed the freedom. So once you have the freedom to just focus on just that thing, you're gonna start generating leads. Uh-huh. So if I can, and I do. So I work at night on everything. I'm generating this following, these people, and there's that tipping point where you're only doing that, and by only doing that, you become more proficient at it. And by being proficient at it, you're going to bring in more leads, and you're going to ask for more money, and you're going to have time just to focus on those few things.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
So that's the goal.
I think like I myself went through that, that phase too, that I always had a desire to have my own business and, you know, I enjoy it now, but yeah, before you do it, it's always kind of a scary period. It's like, if I do this, it's, you know, it's really risky. But at the same time, I think I have other guests that have said like, you know, if you make the jump, it doesn't work. It's not like you're
can't
stuck
never
in that
get
for
a job.
Yeah, you can always go back. So I think a lot of people, they think when they make the move, that's it. They're never going back to what they did. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. At least you tried.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I think it's good to know, like, and have other people listening that to kind of help them figure out when is that right point to finally make that jump.
I think it's different for everybody. I mean, honestly, I mean, the path is the path that you take, and the path that you take is the most important path to you, obviously. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I would have been who I am now if I didn't work at some other place. Like the knowledge, a lot of the knowledge I have now is based off of having a job. Yeah. So that knowledge is pivotal to me and my business. So there's some people who can just go and have that business from scratch. And there's some people who are like, just take that leap. But there's points that you need to evolve from as well. Like, I don't think I was an entrepreneur, even though I did have a business at a young age. I don't think I was an entrepreneur at a young age. I knew that I had to find another space for myself.
But even if you didn't realize it, you probably already kind of unconsciously had that desire to have your own thing, even back when you're high school or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called the only child syndrome.
So what is something you're doing right now or something that you would like to learn more about to help your work? Like something you don't know too much about yet, but would like to improve on?
Patience. I'm just playing. time management. Uh-huh. Time management is important. I think I'm pretty good at it. I think I can be better. There's people that I think are just light years ahead of me in managing their time and taking care of what they need to take care of when they need to take care of it. That's probably my biggest thing in the business space that I would do. In the creative aspect of it, the video creation and stuff like that. I mean, you always can be better. I mean, as an artist, you always think that you want to be better.
Yeah,
and
of course.
My visuals, I think that my composition is great. I think that my visuals can go to a whole nother level. That's what I'm working with right now, is just playing with the way that it breathes me. Like it's specific to me. Spike Lee has that. A lot of people, everybody who's an artist, they have that. I consider myself an artist and an entrepreneur, like half and half. So,
and of course, everyone learns differently. So you did go to college for these kind of motion graphics and things, but how are you learning now? Do you just kind of watch videos online, or do you just kind of just dive in and just try to figure out yourself?
Both. I mostly just dive in, and then when I get stuck at a point, I'll go look to figure out what people are doing to do so, and how to get to it quicker for the next time. Because I'll dive in and I'm like, hey, these things look cool together. This overlapping is over. These layers look cool together. But it also took me like 5 hours to get to that point.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, I want to do this quicker. So let me get to that point much faster. So I'll watch a YouTube video. I really don't like paying for too much of anything. I mean, most entrepreneurs don't. YouTube. And I actually, what's funny enough is that I'm brave enough to go like, message whoever artist I like, and then sometimes I actually reply, which is amazing. Yeah, so I'll just do that. I mean, what hurts if they don't reply? So well, if they do, you're like, thank you for replying and thanks for the information, and like they've given me like all kind of stuff.
Oh, so if you like saw someone's video online that you liked, just like, hey, I really like your video, how did you do that one specific part or something? And then
there was this gentleman, I can't remember his name right now, but he did the Ford pickup commercials.
Uh-huh.
And he did like this amazing, like these jump cuts and this animation, but it was like physical, so it wasn't really an animation, I guess, because it's physical. But he did these things, and I was like, I'm going to hit him up. And so on Vimeo, I sent him a message, and he got right back to me, and I was like, oh, thank you. And he told me like why he did it and what he did to do it.
That's pretty great.
It's kind of like those back in the day when you used to have to send those letters across the world and get a letter back. I was like, yes.
Yeah. But now it's so easy to just send anyone a message that everyone gets bombarded with messages, and you're just easier to ignore now.
Then you got to say something big at the beginning, like, hey, like I'm your son. Like, I don't know.
I think it's good for just anyone, any artists, any creatives, you know, to always kind of help other people, because there's always going to be people coming up that, you know, need some guidance as well.
That's so true. I despise when I see like a musician of some sort don't sign an autograph, because that's 100% why you're in that position.
Yeah.
Like there's no other reason that you're there than that person. Mm-hmm. Like, so you need to be respectful to that person. They need to be treated as the artist, almost in a sense. They need to be, they're the gift to you. They put you at that role. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
always giving back is important.
And so where do you see yourself and Nuge Media evolving into the next 5 years or so? What would you like it to become?
The goal is first to be completely done with the workspace.
So to be full-time?
Full-time.
As a business owner?
A business owner. The next would be the brand itself. I vision as a movement of sorts. The Nuge Media thing. So Nuge is my mom's nickname, but also it's N-U-G-E, which is like new generation. So it's kind of this idea of it being a vibe, a feeling. And I want it to be a place where everybody feels free to give.
So something like a platform for other people to kind of come in.
I mean, I also want to collaborate. I just wanted everybody to be working together in this space. When it pertains to the business aspect of it, the making money side of it, it is event coverage, and I want to just be doing event coverage as well as the little videos that we do mm-hmm. on the side. So the focus is to have it in that place where it's making enough money to support me and my family, and then allowing for it to develop and grow as an organic space.
And what advice can you give to someone else that's getting into videography now, motion graphics? What advice can you give to them kind of going out on their own and wanting to be their own business owner as well?
I mean, if it's focused on video, I would say learn the rules, but then trust your instincts. Because the rules are made to be broken.
This yeah.
corny cliche thing to say. But to know how to get to the perfect composition faster is important so that you don't have to think about that. So now you can focus on the story or the arc and stuff like that. When I say in the business term, anybody can start a business. And in today's society, you don't need much of anything to do so. So do that and believe in yourself, and hopefully we work together in the future.
Yeah, I know one thing in like video is the 180 rule about how you, the camera perspective.
Yeah, it's freaky.
But there are some, I think, movies that have broken it, right?
Yeah, purposefully.
Yeah.
I feel like Hitchcock does that all the time. I mean, like, he was so good at what he did uh-huh. that he would break the rule and it'd be for a complete reason. You're like, oh my gosh, like later on. So I feel like Hitchcock, that's probably one of the people that you can look to see him breaking that rule. I broke that rule at work one time, and it was horrible. So don't.
Oh, you had like a person on one side, and you completely changed your perspective?
Yeah, we have like robotic cameras. So uh-huh. like the robotic cameras were spaced out, and there was one on the opposite side. So uh-huh. it looked like they were on the same side talking to each other. And like, so you it's a real rule that's to be followed unless you have a reason to break it.
Yeah, especially during like I guess an interview type of video, you can't have the two speakers facing the same
direction. It doesn't make any sense.
Direction. Visually. Yeah, it just looks kind of weird.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense visually. So,
but yeah, I mean, there are times where, you know, you can break it. I can't think of what you're referring to about the Hitchcock stuff, but yeah, I'm sure I have seen, you know, people break that rule. But yeah, just like in anything, even photography, there's the composition rule of thirds and all those kind of things. But
you
there's
put
times,
them in the lower half.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think, yeah, like you're saying, it's good to, you have to at least know it. As long as you have the foundation of it, then you can at least be aware of it and then kind of, yeah, like you said, use your instincts to suit it to your artistic tastes.
I would say Mr. Robot breaks it a lot.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
There's shots of how they had, they would have the people just their heads on a very, very lower edge of the screen, but they're facing to the edge that they're at, which is...
It's like breaking all the rules. It's like you don't want them down there, and you also want leave room mm-hmm. to allow them to look like they're talking to someone.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, but this works because he's in his head type thing.
Yeah, I forgot where I was watching, but I was watching some kind of like after show about it, and they're talking to the cinematographer or the DP, and they were saying, yeah, the reason he did that was it creates this kind of uneasiness or mm-hmm. something. And I was like, oh, yeah, it does because it's just weird. But it has that, and yeah, Mr. Robot has that kind of, kind of weird aspect to it that feel, yeah.
So yeah,
in that sense, it would have worked, yeah.
Yeah, I love that show, by the way. So
yeah. Was it? Is it on season two now, or?
Three.
Okay. Yeah. It's
really not back yet.
Oh, okay.
It will be.
Oh, season three is coming.
Yeah, it's coming.
Okay, cool.
But If there was anything else, and I'm thinking in terms of being an entrepreneur, I've already said this, but like, trust your instincts, because that's all you have. You really don't have anything else. Mm-hmm. And peer group. Surround yourself with as many people as possible, because that'll allow you to develop as much, as quickly as possible. The Harlem Renaissance is a perfect example of
What is that?
I mean, for lack of my knowledge, but like, it's just, it was a lot of people together doing things. So there were people, there were dancers, there were singers, there were other kinds of performance art. And they were all together, and they were just like feeding off of each other. So like, if somebody was a tap dancer and they were like, I'm going to tap dance on this table, then they'd be like, well, I can build a table that looks good. Okay. For you to tap dance on. It was that kind of idea. It was just everybody working together.
Yeah, everybody helping each other.
So, and you, it's not a competitive, it is competitive, but it's not competitive in the same way. It is like, I want to strive for something that lofty. I want to achieve something that big. And you're just tit for tat going bigger and bigger and bigger until you get in front of somebody who likes it enough that they want to spend money on it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, yeah, like how you're saying, you want to create a movement and just kind of just everyone helping collaborate together. We're only making everything else better.
Yeah, 100%. It's the people you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good point you made, is I think, again, people, when they think they're going to go out on their own, they feel like they're going to be on their own, but no, you're not. I mean, yeah, you don't hesitate to go out and network, meet other people, because there's going to be a lot of other people that are in the same position that you're in. And, you know, it could be totally different fields, but you never know how
feel the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, feeling like, I guess you equate it to being in high school and feeling like you're the outsider. Well, there's multiple people that feel like they're the outsider. Yeah. If y'all come together, now you're not the outsider.
Yeah.
So in that same space of like a business, creating a business, or just being an artist in itself or creative in itself, other people feel like you do. And the whole point of being creative is to create something that matters to you and then to connect, right?
Yeah.
So being able to connect with somebody else is like the utmost important thing.
Yeah. And I just think it always just takes, you know, one person to just kind of initiate the conversation. I've gone to like a lot of networking events, and you know, when you go to an event, you don't know anybody, you just kind of like stand on the side and you're not sure what to do, but
where I put my hands, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know I've been in that position, and you know, it's not the most comfortable position. So I think in that sense, if you see someone like that, you know, go ahead and reach out to them so that, you know, you can welcome them in. And
it's scary. Yeah. I will say that it is scary, but you'll be surprised. And instead of like meeting as many people as possible, I would suggest just meeting one or two people.
Yeah, just make it a small goal. Like, don't overwhelm yourself. Just kind of make it realistic. Because,
I mean, if you meet like 40 people, they're not going to remember you.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, just make like two or three quality connections. But if you do that whenever you go to an event, that will just continue to build. And
they'll think of you. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, Charles, for sitting down with me today.
Yes, sir.
Before we go, where can people find more about you, your company?
So you can find me on Instagram at nuge.me. That's Nuge Me. You can find me on Facebook at Nuge Media. You can find me at nuge.media, no.com, online. So
yeah, I didn't realize that media was a domain extension.
Yeah, Google's amazing.
Yeah.
So nuge.media. You can find me, some of my work there. That's kind of it right now. I mean, I'm making projects and
stuff. Do you have a YouTube channel or something for your work as well?
I do. I have a Behance and a YouTube. I do have a Vimeo, but I don't post to it regularly, so I wouldn't say go there.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's Nuge. I don't think it's media. It's just Nuge.
Okay. So, well, if they go to your website,
yeah, it'll send them right there.
Cool. And before we go, my last question: how would you describe yourself in 5 words or less?
Hopeful, impatient, and driven.
Cool. Yeah, those are good words. Well, thanks again, Charles. Good luck in the future and making that transition into a business owner full time. I'm sure you'll be able to get there. It's just a matter of time. It's not if, but it's a matter of when.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Pursuit Podcast. Find us online at creativepursuit.co. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed the show, we would greatly appreciate your review. It only takes a few minutes, but it really helps support the show and keep it going. Until next time, we encourage you to start pursuing your creative passion today.